Hey everyone, and welcome to Minute 51 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a wild trip through the 1987 John Hughes comedy, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Mark Hoffmeyer of The Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, and Movies, Films, and Flicks. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hey, I just want this entire run, I just want my nickname to be a slab of meat with mittens, okay? So as we talk, I'm the slab of meat with mittens.
All right. About this. Does that sound good? Are, I like calling you, what did we call you in last season? What was it? Guard Mark?
When I was the extra.
Yeah.
Yeah, Guard Mark. That one
was No, it wasn't Mark. Guard. It was something else. It was, I don't know. It was something guard.
I was a guard.
You were a guard. That. You definitely were a guard. I can't remember what it was. It was something, maybe it was Nazi Mark? No, it wasn't Nazi Mark. It was something.
Henchman Mark? Henchman Thug Mark?
No. Can't remember. Oh, well, we're gonna have to check before tomorrow to find out what we called you. Goon Mark. There we go. We called you Goon Mark.
Goon Mark. You know what's that's amazing. You know, in shows I keep making up. I did Silverado Minute with Jake Lewitt. He's my co-host on Deep Blue Sea, the podcast. Y'all know him here. I became Mark the Adult, and you know Billy the Kid. Oh, my Western name would be Mark the Adult. Yeah.
I look forward to hearing those episodes, even though they've probably already come out before this one will come out. Because you guys are like in the 30s or something like that, aren't you? Like episode 30 or something like that?
Yeah. We're out a minute. 20s maybe?
Right. No, because we're going completely parallel.
Once I'm gone a day away from it, I forget. So.
Right. All right. Oh, well, nice. It doesn't really make a difference, but we're going completely parallel. So like today is episode 51. So Silverado Minute is on episode 51, but we're going to finish a long time before them because we only have 93 episodes and they have a little bit more than that.
How have you enjoyed doing this one as compared to The Great Escape? Because
it's so different. It's so different. It's a lot of fun. I like the fact that I'm jumping back and forth between the types of movies, you know, that I'm not just going on a straight path with the same type of movies each time. So like I had a lot of fun with The Great Escape and I'm having a lot of fun here also. And it's hard to say which one I'm having more fun with because they're just so different. You know, because it's also more of a modern movie, I'm able to go more into detail about things that are popping up on the screen, you know, in front of us. You know, The Great Escape, we're somewhat limited in looking at things on the screen because like you don't get a whole bunch of, you don't get like Q-tips, you know. Which is something we spent, you know, a few weeks ago, me and one of my guests spent, you know, about 10 minutes talking about Q-tips. You know, it was just like fun things to talk about that, you know, in a prison camp, you're not gonna be able to talk about. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to making a decision what I'm gonna do for season 3. We'll have to wait and see. But I do like the jumping around. So I think I might go, you know, serious comedy. I think I might try and do that. Even though some people could look at The Great Escape as a comedy. Movie. You know,
very true. They both have dramatic elements to them, but they also have comedic elements.
Right.
You should do like Requiem for a Dream and just become horribly depressed.
I don't think so. I've seen that movie, I think, 1.5 times and I hated it. So it's not going to be on my list. There. Let's put it this way. I have thousands of movies that I will do before I do that movie. And
I gave you a free meal.
No, not going to help. Sorry. You're gonna have to up the ante.
What would be the most depressing movie to cover minute by minute? I think it would probably be Requiem for a Dream, or maybe like The Postman with Kevin Costner, because it's just ridiculously long.
It's ridiculously long, but I actually find it fun. I think it's a good movie.
That's true.
It's not boring. You know, there are movies that are just really boring.
That was just the first long movie.
Right. Long movies are fine. I mean, come on. The Great Escape was long.
Yeah.
You know, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, the original cut was longer than The Great Escape. It was an hour longer than The Great Escape, the original cut of this movie. Yeah.
I love how many people gave John Hughes, during the press conference, I loved how they were like, this is your first time being serious with adults. How do you feel? He's like, well, I just wanted to direct a movie, and I figured if I put it in one room, I could do Breakfast Club. So then it kind of stuck. And he's like, I don't know. I like his stories. And he seemed annoyed. The press conference was like, Steve Martin, you're always funny. When are you going to try to be serious? And you're like, geez Louise. Press conferences back then were a lot different.
Yes, completely.
Like, completely. I don't know. The question, and then they were worried about the F-bombs being dropped in it. And it was a weird press conference. It was a strange extra, but Steve Martin and Candy were hilarious.
Yeah. That's very true. Well, they're always hilarious, and they're hilarious in the movie, and that's why the movie works. The movie works so well. I mean, I've had discussions with some of my other guests about, if we could recast or anything like that, and you can't recast this movie. There's no one who can do better. I mean, you might even know who the original people they wanted to play these characters. They wanted Tom Hanks to play Neil, Steve Martin's character, and they wanted John Goodman to play Dell. And then when they couldn't get John Goodman, they wanted John Travolta, or maybe it was vice versa. Maybe they wanted John Travolta first. But, I don't see that. Not at all.
Tom Hanks couldn't do the Steve Martin. Steve Martin can be abrasive, but you still like him. He
Right.
can be annoyed with people and you still enjoy him. I think Hanks, nah.
No, I don't think so either.
Perfect. This was perfect casting.
Yeah, completely.
You need a big teddy bear of a man.
Yeah.
And Steve Martin. You don't know what my comfort food show of 2021 was? It was Only Murders in the
I
Building.
still haven't seen that.
That
I still haven't gotten around to do
show
that.
was. It's just like a big hug. It's just Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez, and it's wildly pleasant. And all the, I'm not trying to be reductive. It is just the most pleasant experience. And you know what? Going through Steve Martin's filmography, it made me realize how much I quote his movies almost on a daily basis.
Oh,
I
wow.
think he might be the actor with the movies that I probably quote the most. I never really thought about that.
Wow. All right. Well,
But
you know what?
whenever
Let's
someone gives me a
wait
present,
until
I'm
we
like,
do
is
the
it?
top five at the end of this
Oh,
episode, and then we can get into it, like
okay.
what your quotes are of what you like to, what you like to say about Steve Martin, or what you like to quote Steve Martin saying, stuff
Know,
like that. Right.
let's do it.
All right. So first of all, episode 51 begins with Neil exiting the airport and ends with Dell looking at the dispatcher sternly. So as everyone who was with us on Friday heard, that episode ended with Steve Martin basically getting put down by Amy McCleary. So the episode on Friday, he got put down by her, and that's our tagline, you're fired. So it really worked, and he just storms out of there with this look of despair on his face, and the minute tracks into this minute, and he walks out of the airport. And he still looks completely defeated. It's just amazing that they can get an actress like Edie McClure to play a character that can just dress down Steve Martin as quickly as possible. He goes on his diatribe. He gives us 18 in 1 minute, which is obviously split up between 2 different minutes. But her one response just kills it and completely puts him to shame for everything that he did right beforehand. I think maybe because you don't expect it.
Because she goes from super earnest, right? You kind of think she's going to be this pushover. And then she just gets stone cold in the blink of an eye. And it's beautiful. She shakes him.
Yeah,
And then the
completely.
score kicks in. The gnarly score in the beginning of this scene. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same score that we've had a number of times throughout the movie. I mean, they throw this in. I mean, it feels like a techno 80s score, the way that
Does.
they do it. It's like the someone that they were running out of money when they were making the movie, so it sounds like John Hughes just said, okay, bring over your synthesizer and let's put a little bit of 80s techno music into here. We're the
It
Pet Shop Boys
takes
when
me
you need
out of
them.
it. We have we can hire them for 3 hours.
Exactly.
See what they can do for
It
us.
weighs
Knock it out.
down. It
And
weighs
listen, it's
down.
fun. Yeah, it's fun, but it does take like, very rarely does a score take me out of a scene. But I remember taking notes during this and I was like, wow, this is I just stopped watching the action and just started listening to the score.
Right.
I don't really do that much, but I still enjoyed it. And
And
it's
the score repeats itself numerous times throughout the movie, these things, and it's just great. It's like an upbeat type of theme, but you see, it's sort of like it's trying to cheer Neil up. It's trying to say, okay, things are going to get better. I don't
That's funny. Come on, guy. You
Yeah.
can do this. Things aren't that bad.
Right.
I looked up the cab fare from St. Louis to Chicago. Do you want to know the estimate they gave me?
Sure.
$785.
Which he didn't have on him.
Yeah.
And let's
And so
say
I guess if we look back to the 80s, what, we cut that in half at least. So, but he already had his money stolen. But that's only a 4.5 hour drive.
Yeah, it's it. No, it, what I checked was it's a 310-mile trip between Chicago, St. Louis to Chicago, and the fastest route can get you there in 4 hours and 46 minutes. But
Oh, you
they
got
give
that.
you a
Oh, I got
few.
4:30.
Really? Okay.
Maybe I looked at it during a different time of the day than you did.
Could be. I don't know.
Because sometimes
Maybe
it picks up
the
different
time zone
traffic
difference.
patterns.
Maybe the time zone difference tells us different things. I don't know. But yeah, I mean,
Gotta be,
wow,
that's
$700.
not a terrible trip. They drove along. Oh, wait.
Yeah, $700 is a lot of
I'd
money.
do it.
Yeah, especially considering it's only a 5 hour, it's only 5 hours, and it takes them a lot longer than 5 hours to get there.
Lot longer.
Yeah, completely.
Plot hole.
Well, we'll get there. We'll explain why. We'll get some explanations as to why. Not complete explanations, but somewhat explanations. Because like I was trying to figure out the time. But you know what? We'll get to that later in the week. We'll talk about the time of what time is supposed to be. Because right now we're still in the airport, right? So, first of all, with this music that we were talking about, so they throw in the quote from Neil, which we heard last week when he was walking across the tarmac. It was like injected into the score itself, where you hear Neil say, "You're messing with the wrong guy." And every time I heard that, up until I did research for doing the breakdowns, I always thought that he was actually saying it, as opposed to it being part of the actual music that's going along. And I'm like, who's he talking to? But apparently he's not talking to anybody.
Just in the score.
Yeah, exactly. So
Wow.
he walks out of the airport, and we hear someone yell from the taxi stand, "Hey, 86, wake up. You're going to block the line." And then the actor, played by John Randolph Jones, according to IMDb, it doesn't tell us when he was born, but he passed away on January 13th, 2015. He has 19 movie acting credits and 15 TV credits, including 4 Law and Order roles, where in each episode he plays someone else. So I always find that fun about Law and Order. You have people that are just in so many different episodes. One time they're a judge, one time they're a criminal, one time they're a mob boss, whatever. Each episode they give them something else, but it's the same exact actor. They have like their pool of
I feel
actors.
like, is he Swedish? Because he appears in Dancer in the Dark. He appears in Dogville. He's in a decent amount of Lars von Trier films.
I don't know. Maybe he got him once and said, "I love him." Or maybe he saw him in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and said, "Wow, that's a guy I want. I want a guy who's able to put his mitten on really, really, really well, his gloves on very well." But we won't jump ahead with that one.
The two your films.
Yeah.
But I do love the knockout punch, and
Wait,
it
we're
got
not
me
there
thinking
yet. We're
about
not
other
there
airport
yet.
fights I
Mark, you're
like.
jumping out. You're
Oh.
jumping ahead. This isn't Deep
I'm
Blue
not an
Sea.
ABC guy. I'm
This
sorry. I'll let
isn't
you
Deep Blue
keep.
Sea, where we talk
I'll
about
let you keep us.
the entire chapter all at once. So we go in order here, because we're hoping that
Got it. Got it.
there are people listening to the show that haven't seen the movie yet, and therefore we're going to give them a blow
Got
by
it.
blow as to how things are going. But keep that thought. You're good. You're good, Mark. All right. So then he turns around and says to Neil, "Yeah, where are you going?" He goes, "Chicago." He goes, "Chicago? Chicago. You're in St. Louis." Yes, I do. "Why don't you try the airlines? It's a lot faster and you get a free meal." So, first of all, the question that he asks and the way that he asks it, the facial expression by both of them is just priceless. It's just great watching the two of them have this conversation, because you're standing outside of an airport. And you're trying to get a taxi to another city, so it is a typical response. And they're both somewhat in shock by the other person. Neil is just fed up and wants to get out of there. He's willing to pay whatever it is to get out of there, the $700 or 400, whatever 1987 currency rate is for that. But it's just great the way that they do that. And you see how cold it is in St. Louis. He's freezing. Now, I mean, I did a little bit of research, and in real life, on November 25th, 1987, when this movie takes place, it was pretty sunny. There was no snow in any of the places. They had wishful thinking, but not when we were in Kansas, and not when we're in St. Louis, and definitely not in Chicago. His plane would have gotten there on time. There's no question about that one. So, but
That's Yeah,
Yeah.
interesting.
Well,
I
they
was
couldn't have
thinking about
known.
that too. It was pretty cold for November, but I guess it does snow around those times
Yeah, there are
up
places.
north.
Yeah, there are places that does happen. But not
I grew up in Wisconsin.
1987.
Well, oh man, good job, John Hughes.
Yeah. But he did get some of the other, he does have some other prophetic choices that worked. You know, the whole, when the two of them are talking about the hell of a Bears game, it really was a hell of a Bears game. It was a nail biter just a few days earlier. So that one worked out.
Oh, that's
Yeah.
awesome.
And I mean, I like the way that this actor, you know, the he who's known as the cab dispatcher, you know, he basically he's trying to add a little bit of humor to the whole thing. He doesn't really, he's not trying to be mean when he says this to Neil. Neil's just in a crappy mood and he just takes it the wrong way. You know, when he says try the airlines, so he's sincere about it. You know, he's trying to be funny, but not in a mean way type of thing. But Neil isn't able to do that. And Kenny goes, if I wanted a joke, I'd follow you into the John and watch you take a leak. Now, are you going to help me or are you going to stand there like a slab of meat with mittens? Which it's funny that he says slab of meat with mittens since the guy's wearing gloves, not mittens, but whatever.
Guess it sounds better, right?
Yeah, for
What,
sure.
like a slab of meat with
Yeah.
gloves or a slab of meat with mittens? Nice, like almost
Yeah, yeah,
alliteration
yeah.
right there. Slab of meat with
Yeah.
mittens.
And I love the way that they show their faces as this is going on. I mean, like Neil, there's a close-up of Neil's face where he's just showing he's just completely ready to just burst into flames. He's so angry with everything that's going on. And
Oh, man. And he gets. Oh, I'll let you
no,
finish it. I'll let you
go ahead.
narrate
You can go ahead. That's fine.
it. And then he gets smashed. He earns
Yes.
it, though. Now, I think the guy was joking, I do think he was kind of earnest. He was kind of being a little sarcastic, but I would say he was mostly leaning towards being
Right.
jovial. But I think he's the type of guy where you just don't push his buttons because he doesn't say anything. He just hits
Right.
him. And this is a professional who runs a cab
Correct.
dispatch. Like that's a pretty busy job. So this guy seems to have been a professional for years, but he seems like a really tough St. Louis guy who enjoys his Budweiser beer. He likes his Cardinals. He goes to the pub every weekend. He causes trouble for people, but if you mess with him, he punches you. And he straight up sucked.
Yeah,
That's
completely.
a good one punch KO,
And
actually.
I love
Do
the
you
reaction from Steve Martin.
No, it's unwarranted, yeah. What's up?
Steve Martin's eyes like flutter as this is happening. So it's great. And the music also like punctuates it. I mean,
Oh,
like I
man.
discussed this a few weeks ago with someone that there are a lot of the music in this movie makes it feel as if we're watching a cartoon at certain points. And this is the perfect moment where you hear that.
Oh.
You know, because of the way, you know, after he gets punched, the music gives us a little bit of a comedic, cartoonish way that it sounds about it. So I think that's great.
I mean, it's a violent action, but it's not totally played
Right.
violently. It's more
Yeah,
comical, the
for sure.
punch. Like, it's not a John Wick
Right. It's a punch
punch
where,
or a Requiem for a
that's right. It's
Dream
a punch
punch.
where you can theoretically see the character spin around and maybe, you know, as a, go by going back to the cartoon aspect, you know, maybe you see exactly. Mark just motioned with his hands. You know, you see like the little birdies above his head, you know, that type of thing. And
Oh, man.
yeah.
I'd put this in my top five airport strikes of all
Ooh. All right.
time.
Well, I guess you're gonna have to tell us what the other four are.
Well, 1 through 4 is when Dolph Lundgren front kicks a guy in the Expendables 2 off of a balcony. And then he says goodbye while doing it. So Dolph Lundgren, the master of front click kicks, does one of the best
Oh,
front
wow.
kicks
Cool.
ever in a movie. And he blasts a dude, but he says goodbye to him. So that makes me happy. I did a data post once where I analyzed every Dolph Lundgren front kick in all of his movies.
Oh, wow.
And
And apparently that's the best one.
it's great. Greatest year of my life. But yeah, I think that's it. That's 1 through 4. I mean, there's good ones in Die Hard 2. Casino Royale, they're out of the airport, but there's
Right.
some good stuff in there. But I'm mainly an Expendables 2 guy when it comes to airport fights. So I'm gonna give it that.
Okay, I'll give you that
That's
one.
my 1 through, well, yeah, 1 through 4. 5. Five is Planes, Trains. Because I love a good one-punch KO in movies. Like you got Brad Pitt from Snatch. He's a great one-punch KO artist. JCVD, who we'll talk about later. He's good one-punch KO artist. Steven Seagal made his money on destroying people.
And breaking their arms the wrong way.
I love a good one-punch
KO. I always loved watching Steven Seagal taking someone's arm and just like splitting it the other way. You know, that's the thing he loves doing.
Oh, gosh. And he shoots a guy's leg off in what, Above the Law? Just completely shoots the dude's leg off. He likes limb hurt. Like Steven Seagal loves to hurt limbs. I would hate to be a henchman fighting Seagal. Who wins, Seagal or cab attendant?
Well, obviously Seagal. I don't think
does cab attendant put up a fight?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Right. So
no.
So Neil then falls on the ground, and as he's falling on the ground, we hear screeching of tires and. Then we see a car just come rolling down and just stop right in front. First of all, we see the car swerve around, which doesn't really make much sense. You know, we'll get a little bit into that tomorrow.
Yeah. Why is he going so fast?
Why is he going so fast? And what is he doing there? But we'll talk about tomorrow. What is he doing there? You know, that we'll get into that afterwards. Yeah. But, you know, and then we see a shot of him slamming on the brakes, and then we see the car stop. Literally in millimeters or inches, less than inches from him. And he even like lifts up his hand and it touches. I mean, I don't know if you noticed that the car actually touches his hand. You know,
it's very close. It's a good practical gag. Yeah, that's what I love about it.
They do really so well. I wonder if they did it like backwards. You know, I wonder if that, you know, that's one of those movies where they just filmed it backwards in order to make it look that way. I don't know. Not really sure, but.
Oh man. Even if I had one of the famous Bicerni stunt drivers, like who have a legacy of driving in movies, I wouldn't trust them to get that close to me. Yeah. I would never. Oof. Yeah. But, I didn't see any behind the scenes footage on this scene, so I wouldn't know, but it's good. That's a good, question to ask.
It's true.
Steve Martin's committed.
Well, that we know. I mean, come on, he shook a guy's hand after he spit on his hand a few weeks ago. So he's very committed.
So he gets his...
No, so what I was going to say is that the dispatcher, you know, is looking on and he smiles. He's like, all right, let this guy get run over. And again, all he did was make a joke about the fact that you know, I'll go watch you take a leak and that'll be a joke. That's it. You know, he could have said something so much more insulting, but I don't know.
Yeah, but you get those tough guys.
That's true.
You know, like those tough guys who don't like hearing, I'll go like, oh, right. What'd you say about my manhood?
That's true. Right.
That triggers people, especially in the 80s. And this dude's what, maybe 45? So, yeah. I could see that anger in a blue-collar St. Louis guy.
Yeah, but I think it's a little bit too much. I don't know.
I think you got to keep the insult nice though, because if it's really withering, then Steve Martin maybe looks bad. So you got to keep it somewhat funny because he's probably not good at talking smack yet.
Well, at least not his character is.
Yeah.
Right.
He couldn't.
Well, said horrible things. He said horrible things to Dell a few weeks ago. It's not as if he doesn't know how to and you know, and that was all.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That entire scene where he is. Yelling at that and Adele and telling him that, you know, I'm gonna, you know, here's a gun to blow your brains out. You know, that was all completely ad libbed. It's not in the script.
Maybe getting punched was good for him.
Apparently. Who knows?
You can run your mouth off to everybody.
That's true. And they give some great shots of him lying on the ground. You know, like we see a shot from above, you know, and he like moves his hand up to his face. You know, trying to see, okay, am I still alive? You know, like feeling his face. Did I just die? You know, what am I still doing here? And then he sees like what looks like a vision of Dell above him, right? And then Dell has such a great line here. He goes, what are you doing? I almost crushed your head like a melon. Now, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the phrase, I almost crushed your head like a melon?
I guess just Gallagher and watermelons.
Wow.
That's what comes to my brain.
There you go. That's what came to my brain too. So I did a little bit of research on Gallagher. So for anyone who's not familiar, okay, so Leo Anthony Gallagher Jr., who was born on the 24th of July, 1946, was known mononymously as Gallagher. And he was a comedian in the 70s and 80s who did a lot of prop comedy. And his biggest prop was that he would have this big sledgehammer and he would smash melons and watermelons and anything that he could find. And apparently he had a whole bunch of specials on HBO and Showtime and stuff like that. I mean, I found out some really interesting stuff about him. He has a degree in chemical engineering and he minored in English lit.
We
You
got
know, not something that you would
hey.
expect. And he's apparently known as one of the most popular and recognizable comedians during the 80s. Here, he did 14 specials for Showtime, and Comedy Central apparently releases them all the time. Run again. He ran for governor in California in 2003 when they had the recall election. He finished 16 out of 135 candidates. So that's pretty good. He got 5,466 votes. You know,
Yeah, that's
that's
not
not
terrible.
terrible, exactly, especially for a comedian to do it. So, you know, his as we mentioned, he's mostly known for his sledge-o-matic, where he would take food and other objects and just smash them. And the final thing that he would always do to end the grand finale was always a watermelon. And I mean, people would come wearing raincoats to
Oh,
his
that's the
shows.
best.
You know, it's like SeaWorld. You go to SeaWorld and you got to wear the raincoats in order before the killer whales are gonna jump and splash you. But this you know, here you're going to a comedy act and you got to wear a poncho in order to do that.
I feel like he was working stuff out on stage and getting paid for it. He's smashing things, getting his anger out, and making money.
Yeah.
It's a good life. But I guess I saw a watermelon, but I guess it could be a muskmelon.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the
That this noise makes, that his head explodes. I picture it more as like you know what happens when you throw lasagna at a wall? Like that's what I picture a squished head looking
Ooh,
like.
so
That's my visual.
all right. I can see that.
A watermelon filled with lasagna. Whoa.
Yeah. So apparently he was also in So back to Callum Gallagher a little bit. So on September 29th, 1990, in one of his shows, a woman was struck in the head with a heavy plush penguin that had a fire extinguisher inside of it that he uses a sledgehammer on. Right? She sued him for $13,000 in medical bills, $20,000 in lost wages, and punitive damages in more than $100,000. And the jury in the end,
He got off easy.
no, the jury actually sided with him, where he made a
Way.
joke of it, and in the trial, he actually took himself to the stand and got more laughs than he did in some of his shows. And there's a quote from
Wait, so
the.
he hit a woman in the head with a f
No,
Wow.
I
Oh,
mean
sorry, go
not
for
on
it. Yeah.
purpose. I mean, you know, he was smashing it with the sledgehammer, and it you know she came to his show. So there's a great quote from the judge of his trial who says. You gotta hear this one. In 7 years on the bench, I've seen a lot of characters, but none so theatrical. It was entertaining. It certainly wasn't boring.
Wow. I feel bad for that lady. I mean, she got tagged by a fire
Yeah,
extinguisher.
seriously. Seriously. But again, like you go to a show, you're gonna expect something to hit you. You know, it's possible that a watermelon can hurt you too. You know. Depends on how fast it's flying and
Yes.
stuff like that. So in 2004, Comedy Central rated him the 100th best stand-up comedian of all time. And he actually got really pissed about that because he says, I looked at the other people on the list and I was trying to find anyone I've even heard of. How could I be behind people I've never heard of? I made 13 one-hour shows for Showtime. They're available on videotape. I invented the one-man show on cable and I'm only number 100.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of a burn.
So, yeah.
Did he tell jokes or did he just smash things?
I don't remember. I remember seeing some of the shows on cable, you know, as a kid. I do not remember if he, you know, I think he did tell jokes also. I believe so. I don't know, we have to check it out. You got your homework set aside for you, Mark.
He's like, what does the hammer say to the watermelon? Smash.
Yeah, no, I think he did more stuff than that, but I don't know. I have to check it out. So anyone who hasn't seen it, I'm sure you can find it on YouTube or whatever online. Just do a quick search for Gallagher, comedy, Sledgehammer, or something like that, and you'll get to see a lot of this stuff. It's great stuff. It's a lot of fun. And I assume that it still stands up even after 30 years, 40 years even. Who
I
knows?
guess, I mean, it's physical comedy. It doesn't really date itself. You just hit stuff. Like, that doesn't really,
Yeah.
that ages well.
Yeah.
Not like Andrew Dice Clay.
That's true. Andrew Dice Clay, I mean, at the time he was hilarious. Now it's too offensive.
Yeah. So, I mean, hitting stuff with watermelon is always going to be good.
That's true. That's true. I mean, I actually just saw a Buster Keaton movie yesterday. So, physical comedy just doesn't die out.
More people
Yeah.
need to appreciate him. Because Jackie
Yeah.
Chan, like all these people really love Buster Keaton. Who else?
Yeah, but I don't like the way that Jackie Chan tries to. I mean, Jackie Chan, the way of trying to put together comedy and action just doesn't work as well. And when you're talking about slapstick, Buster Keaton, it was all slapstick. I mean, in
Yeah.
the movie that I saw yesterday, which was The Cameraman, right? So there's a scene where he's swimming in a swimming pool and he loses his trunks, and he's swimming around, but he doesn't want anyone to notice. And then he sees like this large lady who's getting in the pool, and he swims down under her and pulls off part of her bathing suit in order to use it, and it like covers his whole body. So I mean, it's like physical comedy like that. That's just doesn't they don't do it. They don't do it like they used to. No question about that.
Some real gut busters
Yeah,
there.
there really was. I mean, that movie was the first time I saw it, and I was on the floor rolling around a lot of the stuff they did there, because it's just
Nice.
great.
I'll have to check it out. I've never watched The Cameraman, so that sounds
Yeah.
fun.
So basically then Dell Dell says that makes a comment about the melon, and Neil is still dreaming. He thinks he's dead, and he goes, "Dell?" And then you have the dispatcher get his next line saying, "Get that car out of here." And then Dell turns to him and says, "Yeah, just a minute, okay?" And he goes, "Get it out of here." He starts yelling at him and stuff like that. And now Dell is still trying to calm him down. He notices that he's agitated and is doing his best to calm the guy down. So that you got to give him credit for that, even though he doesn't know anything about what happened. He didn't know about the whole conversation between the dispatcher and Neil, and Neil insulting him, insulting his St. Louis pride. How do you, I guess you can say it that way. And that's pretty much how this minute ends. So, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about in this minute?
It's just a great minute. I mean, action-packed. We get a knockout, we get some insults, we get the introduction of a classic car, which I'm sure we'll talk about in the next
Yes, tomorrow.
episode.
Tomorrow we shall talk about that car.
We get some funky score. I mean, this is this minute has it all. I mean, there's a full story told in this 1 minute. You know, some scenes you get, they're not really a story, but there's an actual like tiny little subplot of a
Yeah.
subplot told here. So this is like a story in itself. So I loved covering this one.
All right. So every day, one of the things that we do is that we talk about the differences between the script. I mean, I mentioned earlier that the original script of this movie was quite long. I think it was like 150 pages, and the first cut of the movie was nearly 4 hours. So there is discrepancies between. Sorry that I'm boring you, Mark.
No. Hey, I have a 5-month-old daughter. I'm always
I
tired.
know, I know, I know, I know, I know. So, yeah,
But she's
I'm
beautiful
sure.
and I love her and she's
I'm
amazing. The
for
yawns are
sure,
worth
for
it.
sure. So there's just some minor discrepancies here where within the conversation, I mean, Neil says to the dispatcher, when the dispatcher says to him, "Do you know you're in St. Louis?" So he goes, "Yes, I know I'm in St. Louis, and I want to be in Chicago." And he goes, "Do you want to take a cab to Chicago?" And then, "Yes, I do." I mean, one of the things I love about the way that they cut this movie is they edited it so well, because if you look at the script, they cut out sentences. The conversations still flow. And then the dispatcher, the whole thing here is that there's more of an escalation between the conversation between the two of them, and which warrants more of the fact that he gets punched. For instance, after Neil makes his joke about that, if I want to joke, I'll follow you into the John and watch you take a leak. So the dispatcher then says to him, listen, butthead, if I got to look at your nutty mug for more than 2 seconds, you're going to be looking at me upside and blurry. And then Neil responds to him, all I asked for was a cab. It is possible for a taxi to transport me to Chicago. I'd much prefer to fly or drive myself, but due to holiday traffic, those options are not available to me. Can you help me? Or are you going to stand there like a slab of meat with mittens? So they just cut out that whole extra part of it, which it's not needed, but I guess makes it more plausible that the guy's going to punch him. The way that it plays out in the final cut, it's too quick. He pisses him off too quickly.
Yeah, it's an angry dude. Yeah, you don't want to be married to this man. You don't want to be his children, the one who knocks out Steve Martin, the cab dispatcher. He's an angry human being. He should be happy that he's still alive.
That's true. That's true. So, and then the dispatcher turns, looks at his watch and says, time's up. Because he said to him before that you got 2 seconds. He goes, time's up. And then Neil goes, excuse me? And he goes, you're excused. And then he punches him. So again, not necessary. Isn't needed. And the only other changes is that when Dell gets out of the car and looks at him, he says to him, if I'd had my sunglasses on, I would have run right over you. The way that Dell is driving, there's no question that that could have happened.
No. Why? But he didn't see that from a ways away, did he? He's just driving like a maniac.
He's completely driving like a maniac.
He's not really a maniac, though, is he?
We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, that's true. He could be.
He could be. Maybe he's got a sledgehammer in his trunk.
Oh, he takes it out,
Maybe.
shatters the guy's knee like a melon.
What do you mean, his head?
I think he would get his knee first. Like, you don't want to take the head out first because then there's no more pain.
No, but you don't want the guy to run
He
away.
wants
You're
this guy
saying
to, he's going to come back.
right. That's
Yeah,
true.
he's going to come back a year later and get his other knee. And then he's going to come back another year.
That's
Like,
true.
he's just going to, he's going to be a specter looming over the cab dispatcher.
All right. Makes sense. All right. So every Monday we have a little segment called Martin Monday, where my guests will give their top five Steve Martin performances. So Mark, why don't you go from number five to number one? Tell us your five favorite Steve Martin performances.
Well, just My Blue Heaven. That's my number five. I just constantly quote, well, like one of my favorite quotes ever is like, I got a lot of it in case I want to read it more than once. Like he has those books in the back of his truck or in the back of his car. Just makes me happy. I love seeing him as a gangster. I love seeing him play that role. And just, in case I want to read it more than once, like he sells it. Like he's such a good con man. And I just have quoted that so much. Like, Mark, you, I was like, give me two in case I want to read it more than once or in case I want to eat it more than once. People are like, I don't know what that means, Mark.
You say,
But yeah, I
watch My Blue
always
Heaven.
drop. Yeah, I always drop a weird saying from him. So that's definitely my number five because that one's just really stuck with me. I love that movie and I love his performance. And he's just so shifty, but you still like him and he's so quick. Oh, beautiful. Yeah, that's it. So Vincent Vinnie Antonelli, my number four is I don't think this is like the best movie. It didn't do well. Most people don't like it, but I like him as Master Sergeant Ernest G. Bilko because that movie was kind of like my happy place movie growing up. So if ever there was like a rough day, something rough going on, I would just put that movie on and it was always comfort food to me.
Oh, wow.
Like there's really nothing negative in that movie and it's just such a positive, fun film. And I like the cast, it's a bunch of weirdos. I like him in that. I love his manic energy. I guess number three, I'm gonna get into well, a couple of the obvious ones, but I love him in The Jerk. I mean, just the cat juggling and the cans and like the blow. She's gonna give me a job. Just seeing him in that movie pull off that character. I mean, people don't know how hard that is. You can't. There's an earnestness to him. It's not an easy role to pull
And it was
off. I'm
one
gonna
of
say
his first
that,
roles, too.
and it's very good. And you just, yeah, it's. I feel like a lot of movies have definitely. I mean, there were characters like that before him, but I think it's beautiful. Number two. I mean, I really don't think this is his second best performance, but I'm just gonna say it. I love him as Lucky Day in Three Amigos. I mean. You got me a sweater. Like now, whenever I open something, I'm always like, oh, a sweater. And I always, like My Little Buttercup and
My
just
little
his,
buttercup has the
yeah. Oh my
sweetest
gosh.
smile. Smile, smile, smile.
You shot the invisible. Oh man. And just his physical comedy when his arms and legs are they're tied up.
Yeah.
It never gets old. And I love the cheekiness of it. And I constantly remember, I love Galaxy Quest, and it always reminds me of Three Amigos. So I want to say that. And then number one for me is Bowfinger, because I think Bowfinger, you know, it did well. It's fresh. I wouldn't say it's underrated, but his performance and Eddie Murphy's performance, Eddie Murphy's dual performance in that as Kip Thorne, and then Bowfinger, the titular character, he is just such, I love his swindling. I love how he could just keep people around because he's just so smooth, but he's also really earnest, and he seems to like trust his crew. And I just think it's a really, I think it's a comedic masterpiece. I don't care what people think. I love Bowfinger. I think it's one of the funniest movies I've ever watched. And I just, you know, shake his beer. Like, it's just so crazy and so much fun and so watchable. So I'm going to say Bowfinger's
right. Number one. Great. So every day we do a segment called Off the Beaten Track, where either my guest or myself will give a little short story about some adventure or misadventure that we may have had at some point along the journey of life. So Mark, you got a story for us?
Yeah, it was 2004, and we were going to my brother's boot camp graduation in Texas. So me, my mom, and my brother's girlfriend, we drove from Tallahassee to Texas, and you just take 10 west. And as we took that road, it was fun, it was cool, but our car tire broke down in Texas. And we were on the side of the road. Our spare tire did not have the jack needed. Like, for some reason, the rental car didn't include it because I was going to change the company. So this big truck comes up, you know, like four tires in the back, two up front. Like, really, you know, stereotypically, this is not good. I trusted them, but it was like these people who kind of look like, you know, they were coming from the country. And they're like, hey, do you need to ride to town? I was like, yeah, I'll jump in. And my mom like looked at him. She's like, if you don't come back, she's like, I got a gun in the car and I'll find you. Like,
she said
my mom threatened people giving me a ride. Yeah. Yeah. She like rode motorcycles and like, I got a tattoo because she knew a tattoo artist and everything. But, you know, she before my senior year of high school, I got that. But yeah. So then I jumped in the car and everything worked out great, but I didn't even think about it. But then my mom threatened him with a gun. And as we're driving, they're like, did your mom just threaten us with a gun? I'm like, yeah, she threatened us with a gun. And then they helped us out. They were great. And I got a jack and I changed a tire and we got a new one. And we were off on the side of the road, like off going. But, you know, if it was a horror movie, I might have been in trouble. But I always remember my mom threatening to shoot somebody who were helping us. So, yeah, that's the story. I think it's pretty funny.
Very good. Thank you for that, Mark. So, you want to tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just go to Movie Films and Flicks, Movie Films and FLIX. On Twitter, it's just M. Hoffmeyer, or Movie Films and Flicks. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, everywhere you search or look for podcasts, I'm there. I'm behind you right now. I'm that far, all over the place.
Cool. And finding me is very simple also. All you do is just quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Facebook, or you can go to our website. So, Mark, you feel like coming back again tomorrow?
Let's do it.
All right. So until tomorrow, you're
fine. You're fine.